tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour of Your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us on the line right now is a longtime friend, Pastor Rick Warzwak, on the line. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Randy.
Hey, Rick, I wanted to have you on the show today because you were sent a post from Facebook. I reposted it on my Twitter X account. It's a picture, and it shows that somebody put some time and effort into Ralph Rebant and Perry Johnson, and they made some comparisons about the two. But before we talk about that specifically, why do you think, in your opinion, as somebody who's a Ralph Rebant supporter for governor, why do you think the establishment machine, why do you think Jocelyn Benson, Bureau of Elections, her director, Jonathan Brader, and the Board of Canvassers, why do you think they did not want Ralph Rebant on the ballot August 4th for governor, Republican candidate? Why do you think they didn't want him on the ballot? Ralph, go ahead and talk. Did I drop the call? What the heck happened? Ralph, are you there? I teed him up perfectly, and he dropped off. Where is he? Okay. Let's try this again. Okay, Ralph, are you there? Ralph, are you there?
This is Rick.
Or Rick, I'm sorry. Yes, Rick. I'm talking to you. I asked you the question, why do you think they didn't want Ralph Rebant on the ballot this year?
Well, I believe that Ralph is put on the ballot as lieutenant governor with Perry Johnson.
No. That's not. Rick, that's not my question. Rick, that's not.
That we have right now. And I believe this is a win-win situation, Rand.
Okay, he's not hearing me. I don't know what the heck's going on. Let's try this again. Let's try to reconnect this one more time. Okay, Rick, you're not hearing me. You didn't hear my question. I'm going to start this over one more time, and then we're going to abort. Can you hear me now, Ralph? Rick? Rick, can you hear me? Hey, Rick, you're not hearing me. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, let me ask you the question again. I want you to talk about why you think the establishment machine, the Board of Canvassers, did not want Ralph Rebant on the Republican ballot for this August 4th primary.
Well, I believe they don't want him on the ballot because of what he brings to the table. This man has moral standards, and he has a grassroots base that, if activated, can turn the governorship in our favor as conservatives. Ralph and the Board of Canvassers, I believe, is biased. The appellate court, the state Supreme Court, I believe there's a motive of fraud in this whole thing. We have to get Ralph brought forward.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're going to try to reconnect with Rick Warzwak, talking about why he thinks Ralph Revant was kept off the ballot for the August 4th Republican primary. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second segment, hour number two. On the line, staying through the break, is Rick Warzwak. He's with Transformation Michigan, Oak Initiative, many other things over the years as an active pastor here in the state of Michigan. We're talking about the Board of Canvassers' decision to keep Ralph Revant, who had submitted over 18,000 signatures to the Board of Canvassers for the review to make it on the August 4th Republican primary election ballot. And after sampling just 750 of those signatures, they determined that he was short and would not be on the ballot. So, Rick, I want to ask you this question. Why do you think the establishment machine the Democrats, the Republicans, the Board of Canvassers, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, her Bureau of Elections Director Jonathan Brader. In your opinion, why do you think they want Ralph Revant off the ballot this year, Republican August 4th primary? Rick, what's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that Ralph Revant has the grassroots and law enforcement support across the state. And they kind of know inside that he's a danger, because what he carries as a message to the grassroots in Michigan, a true conservative voice. Ralph Revant was rejected by, I believe, a liberal bias mindset.
Bottom line, it was simply the liberals did not want him even anywhere near the governor's office. Therefore, they kept him off the ballot.
Exactly, Randy. Ralph has worked the grassroots for 2 years, and he has such grassroots support. They are fearful of that.
Unbelievable. Well, let me ask you this. Now that he is off the ballot, we have the businessman Perry Johnson, Congressman John James, former Attorney General Mike Cox, and Eric Nesbitt will be the only four candidates on the ballot. Do you plan to write in Ralph Revant, or who are you going to actually vote for?
Well, I'm a person of conviction. I love Revant, but I'll tell you what, I do support Perry Johnson after hearing him at a town hall meeting.
You like his ideas, and you think he's the right guy to fix the job, and that's why you're going to vote for him.
Yes, when he talks about eliminating state income tax, I'm a senior. What about my property taxes? You know, when I heard Perry, I'll tell you what, in his testimony of how he was brought up from nothing, I'll tell you what, this man is definitely carrying something.
And he did mention at that town hall meeting as well, Rick, that after getting the income tax eliminated, he would be working on reforming property tax. You did hear that, right?
I'll tell you what, as a senior, that resonated with me big time.
So let me ask you this question. For all of the Ralph Revant supporters out there, are you advising them that you think they should follow your lead and vote for Perry as well?
I believe so, very much so, because I have to, since Ralph is not on the ballot, we have to replace the governor that's there, and I think Perry has the best chance with the message that he carries.
Now, after he wins the August 4th primary, at the state convention late August, there will be a process where he will announce his candidate that he's picked to run with him as a lieutenant governor. Are you going to be advocating with Perry to ask him to consider Ralph Revant to be his lieutenant governor candidate?
As a precinct delegate myself, there's no question. This is like a 1-2 punch. This is a winner because Ralph has the grassroots. He has law enforcement support. And I just pray that Perry can see the advantage that Ralph would bring to this ticket.
So with that, you're saying they would be a real force to be reckoned with heading into the November election against Jocelyn Benson. Ralph, are you there? Or Rick, are you there?
I am here right now, yes.
Okay, I asked you, you said you think then that they would be a force to be reckoned with to run against Jocelyn Benson in November.
It would be a force that no other candidate could stand up against. It's a 1-2 punch. It's a winner. Perry and Ralph teaming up together.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate you coming on this morning. I apologize for the technology, but we'll get that worked out, and appreciate your time. Stay in touch, Rick, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for all your efforts, Randy.
Okay, you as well, sir. Goodbye. I apologize, folks. This technology was not working this morning. We had this all planned out, but evidently it wasn't meant to be. But it is an interesting thought, and I know Rick is very much engaged with a lot of pastors from around the state of Michigan. And so it's very interesting to hear his thoughts this morning and to see what he thinks potentially he's planning on doing with Ralph Rebant not being on the ballot. He's voting for Perry Johnson and very much hopes that he can influence him at the state convention. So we'll talk more about it in the future. One of the things that the process that is happening in Washington, and this is kind of an interesting story, it broke late on Friday. The Detroit News, under their politics section, 41 Michigan ex-lawmakers are getting a six-figure Cadillac pension. 41. Outrage in Lansing. Breaking story on Friday afternoon. 41 former Michigan lawmakers are pocketing six-figure Cadillac pensions decades after leaving office. The one getting the most at the very top, ex-Senate Majority Leader Ken Sykema. This guy is getting $190,000 a year. Why has it gotten to be so much? Because their pension plans are included in the plan itself, have a guaranteed 4% annual raise. Most recently, former Governor John Engler served as Michigan's governor, retired, replaced by Jennifer Granholm. Well, because of the guaranteed annual increases, John Engler's pension has doubled. The average, for example, many of us are on Social Security, we average roughly about 2.6% average increase. John Engler, folks, started collecting his retirement as governor at age 50. And he started getting the pension benefits while he was still governor of the state of Michigan. Hadn't even retired from the job yet. These are some of the politicians who pushed for state workers and teachers into 401ks. Yet their own state-funded pension plan at just 40.6% funded with a $206 million hole forces, per our state constitution, that every single taxpayer in the state of Michigan must cover this deficit. 85 retirees collect more than a sitting legislator's salary. $71,685 is what is paid to our state reps and our state senators. Even David Jay, who was expelled from the Senate after criminal convictions, gets almost $105,000 a year. Do you remember the mayor of Detroit, former mayor Kwame Kilpatrick? He's still collecting a pension as well. However, federal prosecutors seized it toward paying back his restitution costs. This bipartisan, Republican and Democrats, self-dealing has got to stop. We need leaders who serve the Michigan families, the Michigan taxpayers, not the insiders who write themselves lifetime paydays while taxpayers, teachers, and state troopers have to play by different rules. Time to stop this. It's time to make Michigan safe, normal, and responsible again. Respectfully submitted, Kevin Kievsky. former candidate for attorney general. This was his post that he put on his Twitter X account on Friday from the Detroit News. And the thing of it is that you have to understand, they're all doing it. Debbie Stabenow. Even the current congressman, Tim Walberg, he's getting a state pension payment. This is just absolute pure insanity, folks. And I hope that with the state reps and the state senators currently working on this year's budget, that this is something that they look into. I'm sorry, but there's absolutely no reason a former state senator who was expelled from the Senate should be collecting $105,000 a year. That's ridiculous. And even the former mayor of Detroit, I don't remember him serving in Lansing, but evidently he did. This is just pure insanity. And if you look at the fund itself, $206 million hole. This is just completely ridiculous. So something we definitely have to take a look at. I'm going to talk to some state reps and state senators based on the fact that they're working on the budget right now. This is something that they need to definitely take a look at. One of the other stories I got pulled up, I'll get started on this one. And this is something that I think is going to basically have to be addressed here in the next session. The review of the Michigan National Guard. Governor Gretchen Whitmer last Friday was at Camp Grayling for her final review as governor. This is a long-standing tradition that honors the service and sacrifice of Ming soldiers, airmen, and their families. Whitmer joined Army Major General Julie Rogers, Democrat state representative, at the Joint Maneuver Training Center, where she gave a review of the state National Guard members and recognized the members who had died. Today, we pause to remember the brave men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice in the service to our state and our nation. And we are also recognizing those who continue to answer the call whenever and wherever they are needed. Governor Gretchen Whitmer thanked all the National Guard members for their service. Bottom of the hour news break, hour number two. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading news provider, delivering real, honest news to Michiganders statewide.
Good morning for Michigan News Source. I'm David Barr. A proposed U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center at a Romulus warehouse will not move forward. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel announced Thursday that the federal government will not convert the Romulus warehouse into a detention center.